Well, hello, folks, and welcome to the second episode of the Hawks Watch podcast. This is James Arnold, and I'm coming to you on a Friday night, pretty late into the evening here. We have a lot to get into from the last couple weeks, and most notably the DeJounte trade that happened today. So I'm going to be talking about the DeJounte trade, you know, what the return was, what the idea behind that is, talk about the number one pick as well that happened last week with Zachary Risacher. I'll talk about the AJ trade to the Rockets and some final thoughts, overall roster improvements, and you know, what the needs are from here. So let's get into it. Here talking about the most important topic, which is why I'm coming to you tonight, about the DeJounte Murray trade. So just to first kind of go over what the details of that trade are, we traded DeJounte to the New Orleans Pelicans, got back Dyson Daniels, the eighth pick in the 2022 draft, Larry Nance Jr. as well, E.J. Liddell, and the Lakers 2025 first-round pick and 2027 first-round pick. And that is actually going to be the worst of, or the least favorable of, the Milwaukee's Bucks first-round pick and the Pelicans. So whichever one is least favorable in 27, we will get that first-round pick there. So that is the return that we got from DeJounte. Now, you know, I saw a lot of fans, you know, initially upset about this, and probably because, you know, we are sending out the best player in the trade, right? You know, DeJounte is, you know, undeniably better than any player that we got back there. However, you know, that's not the idea behind the trade. This trade is made because the last 2 years we have seen, you know, with data, advanced analytics, you know, simple plus minus numbers, that Trey and DeJounte do not work together. We talked about this a little bit last time in our podcast, and it really comes down to, you know, again, they're two small guards. They cannot hold up on the perimeter. There's too much overlap there. And we're paying, you know, DeJounte 25, you know, plus million a year. Trey 40 plus million a year. So having 65 million when the luxury cap, you know, the tax is 170, you know, million. We're paying them, you know, basically over a third of the entire cap just for those two players, which do a lot of the same things. You know, one, Trae Young does it at a higher level and raises your ceiling as a team. So that's why, you know, I and, you know, a lot of other people were looking at, you know, to trade DeJounte, thought that that's what the Hawks were going to do. And that's what has happened. Now, you know, we can't know that Trey is not also going to be traded this offseason. That is, of course, a possibility if the Hawks are going to go into a full rebuild mode. But we cannot rebuild until we get our own picks back. We gave those up to the Spurs in the DeJounte Murray trade, so we are out of our own 2025 and 2027 pick. Now, the reason that that is important is because to rebuild, the idea behind that is, okay, yeah, you trade away your good players, and then you have your own picks in the draft so that you can have a highest chance as you can to get the highest picks in the upcoming draft, because, you know, it only works if you're a bad team and you have your own picks. Now, if you don't have your own picks, which we currently do not, you know, being a bad team does nothing for you because you don't, you know, get higher picks in the draft or higher a better chance to get a higher pick in the draft. So, you know, this is more of a retooling effort. You know, the last week we've made several moves, taking, you know, Zachary Risache at number one, getting Dyson Daniels. We're addressing a lot of the needs that I had actually talked about last time. With the roster, it seems like the front office has done their own work as well, and I'm sure they've done a lot more than me, but, you know, it seems that the front office has noticed the problems and is, you know, addressing them head on with these trades. You know, taking Risache at number one, a guy who can, you know, play multiple positions, defend the perimeter, has good size at 6'10", solid athleticism, and can shoot the ball. You know, last time I talked about we need size, we need point of attack defense, and we need shooting. He addresses all those things at number one. So, you know, just that pick alone, you know, kind of showed that they're working towards fixing some of those major needs on the roster. You know, and then with getting Dyson Daniels, he is arguably top five, you know, perimeter defender in the league. So truly elite on the defensive end, and he plays the 2-3 position. So, you know, gives you solid size at 6'7", 6'8", you know, playing the shooting guard position in the you know, small forward, playing the 2 and the 3 there, something that we, you know, have not had. Now, you know, I'll talk a little bit more about Dyson Daniels and some of that, but we also got Larry Nance Jr., you know, power forward slash center type. He's a solid rotation piece. He's not going to change your life, but he's, you know, a solid guy, a veteran, knows how to play, has been, you know, a good defender, not great, good defender for many years. And then we also, you know, restocked some draft capital. So, you know, this is a future-facing move and a retooling. This is to, you know, fit what we need around Trey better. We did not, of course, we did not get the best player back in this trade, so this trade does not automatically, you know, maybe make you better right now, but it does show that they're putting the right, you know, tools around the right player archetypes and really investing in young guys as well, because, you know, Dyson Daniels is 21, you know, again, 8th pick in the 2022 draft, elite defensive prospect. You know, good on offense as well, solid passer, is able to finish at the rim at a high level, especially for his position, you know, with his size. The question with him is more about shooting, you know, only about 31% from three. That is something that he will need to work on, and that's kind of, you know, the swing on him. You know, if he can get to a more league average, then he's, you know, a very solid starter in this rotation. And, you know, having that guy at 21, he's going to be under contract for a few more years, and I'd imagine they'll be trying to extend him as well. But just a great piece to add here. I've been personally wanting to try to get him on this roster for the point of attack defense, if nothing else, because he is truly, again, probably a top five guy in the league at that. And that is the number one, you know, the number one issue, I believe, for this team. You know, I will talk a little bit more about my final thoughts and roster improvements later, but I want to talk a little bit about Risache at number one. You know, I did not have an initially super positive reaction to that pick. You know, and that's mainly because I think I said it on the last podcast as well. I was hoping for Alex Saar. Now, after I did record that podcast, it came out that, you know, Alex Saar did refuse to work out for the Atlanta Hawks. And, you know, maybe that was his agent. That's kind of what he has referenced and what, you know, other reporters and people around that situation have kind of referenced is that his agency, you know, kind of declined and didn't want him to go there. You know, I speculate that that's because, you know, at number two, Washington Wizards are picking. They have no one. So they're, you know, completely in that rebuilding mode. And, you know, he can be the guy. He can get all the on-ball touches. Not that that is a strength of his at this moment, but at least he will have free reign to do whatever he wants to do. You know, and that speaks, you know, to me a little bit about his competitiveness and, you know, maybe not wanting to compete with Jalen Johnson and these other solid forwards and centers that we do already have on the roster. You know, maybe, again, this is probably his agency, so, you know, I don't want to pick on the kid too much, but, you know, I don't think the Hawks wanted to take him, you know, after that. Understandably so, you know, I was still of the mind, well, you know, if he's the best player, you think that you still take him anyway, but totally understand as well not wanting to take him. My route would have been, and maybe they tried to do this, to, you know, select him at number one and kind of, you know, hold him hostage to have the Wizards trade up to get him, and then you can, you know, trade down to the number two pick and get some excess value. They didn't go that route. I'm sure that they did try to trade down, you know, if they knew Risache was their guy. They, you know, knew that they could probably get him a little bit lower, but, you know, clearly a good enough opportunity did not present itself to trade down, or people weren't willing to accept, you know, the offers that they had. So they took their guy at number one. And, you know, you have to at some point kind of respect that. You know, Risache does address a lot of the needs on this roster and is a really good fit. He's a, you know, solid 3-and-D wing, will really fit, you know, with any team, anywhere. Everyone needs these 3-and-D big wings. So he is 6'10". He is a solid shooter. Good defensive, you know, prospect as well. Good, you know, on ball. His team defense is, you know, pretty good as well. He's good at rotating, being the low man. He really is the epitome of a very solid role type player, at least, you know, now, where he just, you know, makes winning plays and does what you need him to do. He's not flashy. He, you know, makes a decision, you know, attacks the closeout, shoots the three, whatever it is, you know, that's needed from him, can make the extra pass. You know, not the best finisher at his size, at 6'10". You know, that's room for improvement there. There is some, you know, defensive improvement, but overall, very well-rounded, solid player with great size. And, you know, really, again, addresses those, you know, top needs that I had kind of discussed last time. Point of attack defense, that's something that he projects to excel at. You know, size at 6'10". Just more depth at the forward position as well. And then shooting, you know, he projects to be quite a good shooter. Hopefully, that's kind of his swing skill. You know, hopefully he can become an elite shooter, you know, 40%+ from three at 6'10". Kind of a Michael Porter Jr. type, you know, would be a great outcome, you know, if he can shoot high volume and high efficiency. So, you know, he's a great pickup there, really fits what they're, you know, trying to do. Is he the guy that, you know, I probably would have taken at number one? I'm not sure about that. maybe I again would have liked the trade down, but this is a lot better than, you know, who we were projected to get in this draft anyway. And I do like the pick. Seems like a great kid. He's always smiling, and yeah, it seems like he has a very high quality character as well to him, which goes a long way as well. Seems like he's going to be a hard worker, is appreciative of the organization, and that goes a long way. So, you know, overall, I think it's a good selection there at number one, and he's really going to help this team out. You know, I'm going to move on to the round two, so that, you know, round two of the NBA draft happened on, I believe it was Thursday, and we did make a trade that day to get into the mix there. We traded AJ Griffin to the Rockets for the 44th pick, and then we traded the 44th pick and some cash for the 43rd pick from the Heat. So, and we used that pick to get Nikola Dursic. And, you know, this is a guy I had to do some homework on. I have not heard of him before, but he was playing in Europe since about age 16 as a professional. He is a 6'7 wing type player who attacks the basket, can, you know, make reads. Again, one of these guys that really just plays the game the right way, and I think that's a lot of what the Hawks are looking for, just to add, you know, depth, you know, size, athleticism, you know, passing, quick decision making on the wings around Trae Young, because really what you need there is size, athleticism, and shooting, you know, around Trae Young. So, you know, they're trying to do that, and I think this is a good pickup. He is not the best shooter, you know, at this point. That's going to be a swing skill for him if he can, you know, get the three-point shooting up to a high clip. You know, I could definitely see him becoming part of the rotation. But, you know, I do want to talk about AJ Griffin, who we traded there for a minute here. So, you know, with him, it's unfortunate that this was the return and kind of what it's come to for him. He was I believe, the 14th pick in the 2022 draft for us, and he was great his rookie season under Nate McMillan's coaching system, in which, you know, that was a lot more methodical, not as much, you know, Quinn's system is very much shoot the three. If you're not going to shoot it, attack the closeout, you know, break the paint, kick out. If the, you know, layup or floater isn't there, kick it out, and, you know, continue doing that until you get a good shot, you know, is the very, very basic way of explaining Quinn Ball's system. So, you know, he is just not that type of player. He is a guy that, you know, likes to size his man up, you know, take it slow. He's not the most bursty athlete, and he's not, you know, making super quick decisions. He is a great shooter, to his credit. But it really, you know, it didn't work as well with Quinn's system, and there were some personal issues, you know, that we'll probably never know what was going on there, you know, with AJ, his family, etc. But, you know, there were the personal issues. He was out for a long time this season with that, a couple injuries, and it was really hard for him to crack the rotation. And when he did, he played pretty poorly this season, to be quite frank. So it was a, you know, just a lost season for him. You know, he is a guy that I like, and hope he does well, you know, with the Rockets. But just wanted to touch on him for a little bit and say thank you, AJ. Same for DJ, you know, with him leaving as well. Always liked DJ So, want to say thank you to him as well. He gave us a lot of great moments as well. Had a lot of game winners this year. Was, from what it seemed to be, always a great guy to be around, and really brought some toughness to this team. So, we will be missing two of those guys, but I think the Hawks are just moving in a direction that is better suited. And this is more cohesive, fitting roster. This is suited better to help, with accentuate Trey's strengths and help Trey, bring out the best in everyone around him and really build a team around him. These guys are gonna do what you need them to do. There is, so, there has been a lot of improvements on the roster, right? Just taking a look at where this roster stands now, at the point guard position, we have Trey, and we have Kobe Bufkin as well. So, most likely Kobe is gonna be the backup. He has great point of attack defense already, early in his career. Has some room to grow on offense. But he's a great defender. Nice to have him as a backup point guard and continue to grow with this team. At the shooting guard position, we've got Bogey. We've now got Dyson Daniels, who can play the two and the three. We've got Garrison Matthews. Plays a lot of 2-3, maybe Jurcic now. And then assuming that they pick up Vete Krejci's contract, we'll have him as well, who provides nice point of attack defense that he flashed last year and a good ball mover. So, we have a lot of depth at that 2-3 guard position now. There's a lot of guys that can play there, defend. Some of them can shoot it, but they just fit next to Trey better than DeJounte did, right? These guys can defend on the perimeter. They have real size, and that's what you need around Trey. And some of them, again, can really shoot it. So, that's the shooting guard lineup. At forwards, now we have Jalen Johnson, DeAndre Hunter, Zachary Risacher, and Mo Gay. A lot of size there, good players. Hopefully Mo Gay can continue to grow with this team as well. And then at the center position, we've got Capella, Onyeka, Larry Nance, and potentially Bruno Fernando if they also pick up his contract as well. So, just naming out the roster there. We've already added a lot more size, defensive versatility, and defensive-minded players. We have a truly elite point of attack defender in Dyson Daniels now. We have Risacher, who projects to be quite a good defender. We know Jalen Johnson is a good defender. Onyeka is a good defender. Clint. Nance is a solid defender. Kobe Bufkin, a good defender. We've added a lot of defensive personnel, and this is, going to help balance out, what's been going on that end. Which, last year I believe we were 28th in defensive rating in the entire NBA, and top five in offense. That number. When DeJounte was the guy leading the way, the defense did, pick up a little bit because, again, we weren't, playing two small point guards at the same time. But the offense dropped off quite significantly to, where it didn't make us, really a better team. I do know, a lot of people point to that. We won more games during that time, but that was a time when half the league was injured. So, this is probably a good step for us to move on there. Trey and him did not work. And it looks like they're building out the roster in a way that, brings more balance to this team and in defensive personnel as well. So, you know, I'm going to leave it there. I don't want to go too long on this podcast here, but, really appreciate everyone listening to this. And again, I'll probably do more on this in a week or so. I'm sure, more moves are coming, but just wanted to, get this out for you guys and talk a little bit about what's going on, the improvements of the roster, and it's been an exciting week to be a Hawks fan and see what, we're building here. So definitely excited for this season to see how it looks and, see how all of these players, fit together. It seems like we've built out a more cohesive, fitting roster that can, play well together and accentuates each other's strengths. And so, just building that cohesion really helps, on both ends of the court. You got to have people that played it well together and fit, the style of play to have a team that's successful. So they're moving in that direction. They're getting younger, more athletic, bigger size, and getting some defensive personnel. And, that is my overall thoughts about the moves in the last week or so. I will leave it there. Thank you for listening. Again, this was James Arnold, and you can follow me at HawksWatch99 on Twitter or X. Until next time. Thank you.